Will you open your Bibles with us to the first chapter of 2 Peter? Second Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I've been coming here for a number of years and have preached a lot of different messages, and I've lost my record of what I preached here before. Would you tell me if I've preached on this passage here before or not? Is that right? Yeah, I did. I'm just checking you out to see if you remembered it. June the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of 1995, 11 years ago, I preached on from this text three messages. Like precious faith, and his divine power. Can anybody tell me what the other message was? I didn't know it was good to preach to y'all. Y'all forget about it. The divine nature. Yeah, he's going to get it. That's pretty good. That's 11 years ago. Well, I want to add one more word to that series tonight. One word from the fourth verse. I'll read the fourth verse again. By which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can you tell me what the other word is I want to preach on tonight? What?
Escaped.
That's right. Escaped. One word. One word. Escaped. That is a blessed, joyful, exhilarating word. Escaped. Got away. Our grandson was telling about seeing a hawk grab a squirrel, picked him out of a tree, and that squirrel was squirming and flopping and trying to get away, and that hawk was trying to fly and carry him and hold on to him, and somehow or another, miraculously, that squirrel escaped. Now, he dropped and hit the ground with a thud, but he hit the ground running. Now, he had some holes in his side, I know, but I know he was glad to escape. He went to the bushes where they wasn't going to get him no more. Don't you know that was a good word for him? He was about to be dinner.
Yeah.
Escaped. They have been talking about multiplied grace and truth, exceeding great and precious promises, and his divine power, the divine nature. Who are these escapees who have received like precious faith? Now, this word is blessed only to those who have experienced captivity. You can't escape unless you've experienced, know something of captivity, of being imprisoned in some way, or being bound, or being oppressed, or being confined. That word would not mean anything to you unless you knew something of those words. There are those escapees from Iron Curtain countries. Probably not so much now, since Mr. Reagan looked at Mr. Gorbachev and said, "Mr. Gorbachev, take down this wall." But I've read a lot of stories about people who escaped from those Iron Curtain countries. And people who've escaped from Cuba and are still escaping from places like Cuba and Haiti to this country. It's a thrill to read of the oppression that those folks are under, the lack of freedoms and liberty that they have, and what it is and how dangerous it is to get away, that they've finally escaped and got away. Prisoners of war who are being not only kept from their activity, but brutalized and starved and beaten and kicked and almost starved to death. Someone who's been jailed or locked up. I hadn't been jailed but a couple of times. I don't like it. I wasn't there much, but I sure was glad to hear that door clang behind me instead of in front of me. Political prisoners who have gotten away after being captured for freedom of conscience. Also, sometimes people get trapped in some sort of ruinous contract, a paper that you signed, a ruinous contract or an agreement or a covenant or some sort of legal snare that just got you tied up in knots, and you're going to wait years to work your way out of this thing. You just signed the paper. You didn't get somebody to interpret it for you, and some lawyer, some snooker, someone snookered you into signing it, and you're trapped. And to get free of that sort of thing, or some sort of relationship with someone, emotional or romantic or social, that is ruinous, and you've been brought under the power of those people or that person, and you can't get away from them. And when if you do, you've escaped. You're like a bird out of prison. You got free. Of being arrested, brought to judgment. I guess these municipalities are hungry for money. I see these fellows with the official letters on the sides of their car and that bubblegum machine on the top parked everywhere. And one of them come blinking after me. I was over in Louisiana not too long ago, and I didn't know what he was stopping me for, because I hadn't been speeding. I was keeping the speed limit. Well, the problem was I was driving on a 65-mile-per-hour area, and then it dropped from 65 to 45, and I just got off my gas and coasted down. But he clocked me at 61 miles an hour in that 45 zone and stuck me with a ticket. Well, I'm not going to get out of that. I'm going to have to pay it. But it would be good if he said, "I'll tell you what to do. I'm going to let you off this time with a warning." It would have been much better. But I want to speak to you on that subject tonight. Let me give you an illustration here. And I think this illustration has what Peter was talking about in this passage. Here's a scene of captives, hopelessly imprisoned. Great multitude of people, the whole human race, it seems, in one enormous prison camp, the whole human race in one enormous prison camp. They're not encased in steel or stone or concrete. No razor sharp barbed wire over 12-foot tall chain link fences. No armed guards with machine guns patrolling it perimeter. And yet no one in that prisoner camp, not one prisoner, will walk away. They're still there. The compound is characterized by corruption, decay, rot, ruin, dying, death, decomposition. Everything's rotting, decomposing, stinking. Clothes, equipment, tools, furnishings, buildings, equipment everywhere, rotting, rusting, decaying, falling apart, crumbling, generating enormous heaps of garbage. Everywhere you look, there's garbage piles and growing all the time. I don't know where so much garbage comes from. We got a disposal can in the kitchen. You're not supposed to call that a garbage can. But that thing is about that tall, about that wide, and I got a sack that big, that deep. We fill that thing up twice a day sometimes. Take it out to a garbage can out the back, and I got to dump that thing about every 2 days. Where is all that coming from? Now, suppose none of that was ever disposed of. It's just continually piled. What do? You pile up all the garbage out of your house in your front living room for a while. What do you think you'd have there? But there it is. Falling apart, crumbling, enormous heaps of garbage. Rubbish, refuse, junk, growing and covering the land. In this prison camp, the people that are inhabitants of it, the prisoners, the inmates, all treacherous, betraying one another, deceiving one another, lying, plundering, fighting, rioting, robbery, violence, and murder waxes worse and worse in this prison camp. Immorality, perversion, debauchery abounds. It's described in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, trustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What a vivid, accurate, perfect description of this prison camp. Insanity, madness, irrationality prevails. Planet Earth is one solid insane asylum, and the inmates are in charge of it. Everywhere is sickness and disease, multiplying pestilence and plagues. New ones turning up every week, it seems like. The streets in this prison camp are filled with the dead and the dying. It is a miserable, cursed, stinking place, but nobody leaves. No guards, no barbed wire, no fences, but nobody leaves. Friends and loved ones standing outside and begged these poor wretches to leave. But they all cling stupidly to their wretched existence in the confine. Nobody leaves. Every day, the corpses are gathered and dragged to a yawning mouth of a fiery pit and thrown in, where they immediately revive. But the screams of their torments are unheeded by the poor captives who are still left there alive, unheard. Questions. What keeps them there? What prison holds the natural sons of Adam, curses and corrupts them down to hell? You say they all got free will. Yes? No. No? Yes. They got free will. But they will to choose nothing but their bondage. Free will don't do you a bit of good. It's only free will to choose the evil. This is a government prison. But its inmates are prisoners of a government within their own bosoms. It is lust, fleshy desire, and they can no more escape it than they can their own bodies. I read from Romans 7, verse 23 through 24. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death? This body of death. I remember, as another little boy, thinking about the Ten Commandments. And I went over the first four. Well, idolatry is bad. You shouldn't make any other gods. You shouldn't worship them. And you ought to keep the Sabbath day. And you ought to honor your father and mother. And you ought not to steal. And you ought not to lie. And you ought not to commit adultery. And all those things. And I got down to the tenth one, thou shalt not covet. And I wondered what that has to do with the whole thing. It seemed to me like it just kind of petered out there and had to write something else back out then. Because I didn't see anything wrong with, well, what does covet mean? And I said, well, it's to want something. Well, I wanted something. And my friends wanted something. And I said, it's all right to want something as long as you don't steal it. Well, it's all right to want it as long as it's not somebody else's. Want something what somebody else has. Well, everything that I don't have, somebody else has. And so it finally dawned on me that not only is that the last commandment, it's not the weakest commandment, but it's the one comprehensive commandment that covers all the rest of them. They'll all arise out of it. It is the ark sin. Lust. Coveting. Desiring. And lust is the sphere of the world. This is what our text tells us. I think it is in our text over here in 2 Peter. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's why we dishonor God, why we dishonor our parents, why we lie, why we steal, why we commit adultery, and why we kill. Lust. We stopped at a restaurant for a rest stop on the way over here, and there was a song going on while we was in there, and I didn't pay much attention to it, and I couldn't have understood it if I did. My hearing didn't will do. She heard it. She asked me if I heard what that song said. I said, no, what did it say? Let me see if I can remember it. Papa loves mama, mama loves men. Mama's in the graveyard and papa's in the pen. Says the whole thing, doesn't it? There it is. People in these songs run across that thing. There it is. There is what's wrong with everybody. It's lust. It's that corruption and death and ruin all the way through the world. Bring the covetous people. Lie, steal, commit adultery, and kill. Pride, vainglorious ambition, competing, striving, envying, jealousy. It has been so ever since the garden episode. They looked and said, that's good. I'd like to have that too. Ever since the garden episode. Lust, fleshy desire, knows no bounds. It's insatiable. It is never satisfied. It continues to corrupt more and more and more. You never have enough. Small, innocent things always grow bigger, wax worse and worse. Men live like promiscuous dogs, scattering their seed everywhere with no thought of caring for the children that they beget wherever it is. I'm talking about people. I'm not talking about dogs. I'm talking about people who live worse than dogs. It makes monsters of mothers, murdering their own babies. Yes, they do that. Butcher them. Hide them in the refrigerator. Both prostitute their bodies to unspeakable perversities. Daughters hate their mothers. Sons rob and kill their fathers so they won't have to wait for their inheritance. I'm not making these things up. Lust is Satan's snare, and we are powerless to tear it from our bosoms. Many shall not escape, never will. We, His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that you through these things may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. Many shall not escape, never will. There are false religious leaders and hypocrites described in Matthew 23, the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Verse 29, the words of our Lord. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our father, we wouldn't have done that. We would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. This is what the Lord says. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you're the sons of those who murdered the prophets. You just like them. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. It continues forever. Serpents, brood of vipers, how shall you escape the condemnation of hell? People who judge others and not themselves are accorded that in Romans 2 and 3, and it says, you who judge another are guilty of the same thing. False comforters are deceivers with a false gospel. denying judgment and divine retribution described in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. There are those who hear and reject the word of God in this respect. In Hebrews chapter 2 and the first three verses. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. That's angels. The angels didn't get by. Not every transgression, every disobedience. Nobody ever got away with it. How do you think we're going to escape? You know what the terms are for getting to heaven? A perfect life lived. A sinlessly perfect life lived. Think you can manage it? There's one who did. Here's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Now some almost escape, only to be entangled again. One of those is in Mark 4, 19. Another is in 2 Peter. I won't look up both of them. This one in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. And while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to them, according to the true verb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now I can hear someone saying, now you wouldn't be. Brother Merle, don't you don't believe from falling from grace, do you? You don't believe if a fella, you know, he's been saved and he's been washed and he's been cleansed up again and he falls away. You don't believe he could fall away, do you? Well, in the words of B.B. Caldwell, if he does, he can.
Yeah.
Don't try it.
That's right. Amen.
If you can, you can.
That's right.
And you will. Don't try it.
Amen.
Don't even think about it. And we who do escape barely do. 1 Peter 4 and 18. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, brother, I just barely saved. Scarcely saved. I hope I am scarcely saved. The righteous scarcely saved. Where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? I don't know what that means, scarcely saved. But all of us, scarcely saved. But if you're saved, you're saved. There are escapees. Yes, there are escapees. Some folks get away.
Amen.
Those friends and loved ones out there on the perimeter. Someone has escaped.
Yeah.
Somebody has got free.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay. How? Well, the snare has been broken.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Little bird don't have much strength. He little thin legs like a matchstick. A snare got it. No way in the world he's ever going to get free. Never can get free. If somebody comes along and breaks the snare,
amen,
his little foot goes free and he soars on those wings and the snare's way down there and he can't touch the little bird.
Amen.
We've escaped,
amen,
as a bird,
amen,
from the snare of the fowler. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Christ has taken us to the cross. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. You are crucified with Christ, that the body of flesh, the body of sin, might be rendered of none effect, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's what the Bible says. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and its lusts. With the affections and with its lusts. That's what the book says. Now, folks who love sin don't like that part of the Bible. They like to have an excuse for their sins. A lot of Reformed theologians don't like the deliverances in the cross. They'd rather have imputation. They'd rather stay sinning and say, Christ's righteousness is imputed to me and I'm still just a sinner. But the Bible does not say anything about saved sinners. They're all saints. They escaped. The snare has been broken. This is a glorious mystery. The vile made clean. The profane made holy and spotless. The prisoner set free by his divine power. And he's made partakers of the divine nature. And so if you would have the snare broken, flee the wrath to come, climb out of the cesspool. Are you willing to have the snare broken? Are you ready? Will you be a captive no longer? Then come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will avail for you. In the 126th Psalm, the first five verses, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for them. And we are glad. Yeah. Get folks talking about us. Hey, you know, I know that fellow went and look at him now. Look at her. I know what she was. Yeah, but look at her now. The Lord has done great things for him. May the Lord be praised.
Amen. Amen.